All right, 2 Samuel is where we are at. Getting back to 2 Samuel. I love a lot of the Old Testament stories sort of tell themselves, and they just, you get the principles out of them. This chapter, I've had trouble breaking it up into how do you preach through it, because there's so many different personalities and different things going on, and these personalities, people, some of them I don't know what to do with. Abner's sort of a confusing figure to me. We won't get into that yet. We're going to deal with an aspect of David's life that had to do with his faith, and it was his kindness. 2 Samuel chapter 2, we'll just read, starting in verse 5. It says, "And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead, and said unto them, Blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness, because ye have done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened, be valiant, for your master Saul is dead. Also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them." We'll stop there. I don't want to get started with Abner, but we'll stop there. And let's pray, and then I'm going to talk about kindness, but a particular aspect of kindness. It's not being afraid to be kind. And I don't know if that sounds weird to you, but I think sometimes the idea of being kind makes you think you're too vulnerable, and you put yourself in a bad position, and maybe it's true. We're going to deal with not being afraid to be kind. Not being afraid to be kind. But let's pray, and we'll talk about this in David's life particularly. Father, I thank you for this time together. Thank you again for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for Renee getting saved. What a blessing that is. And I pray that you'd help us through this sermon this morning, and make the applications where they need to be made, and for those teaching, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit, and help the kids in the other building. And we've got several out that are sick or recovering. Jeff's still recovering from open heart surgery. I pray that you'd continue to heal up his body, and then Alan continues to run fever, and don't know what it is, if it's colon related or what. And anyhow, I pray that you'd help he and Denise. And then thank you again for the many blessings that you've blessed us with, and pray you'd help us this morning, because we need your help. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this chapter, and it's important to give you some context here. It's been a while since we've been in 2 Samuel. This chapter has a lot going on, and honestly, I've wrestled with how to preach it for a while. Yes, there's a woodpecker behind me, I guess. as soon as I start preaching, as soon as you start. So we'll just air it out so you know it's there. It's going to be there. He lives there. He has a hole there. I don't know. I can't find him when I walk around the building. Yeah. He may be interested in the sermon. I don't know. So that's that. So in this chapter, Saul has died. Saul died in battle. And David has now been anointed king over Judah. Now, at least Judah, the tribe of Judah, has voted with confidence to make David their king, and they're the only ones really that have done that. So there's a partial transition of power here. Saul's royal family, most of them are dead. at least his immediate family, his most of his children are. But he still has some, there's still some residual just hanging on to the old guard, so to speak. And that's what's confusing with Abner, and we'll maybe deal with that in the future. But there's still some strife, you know. The nation of Israel wasn't necessarily completely unified behind David for a while, and even when they made David king, they weren't necessarily all behind him. And so there's this partial transition of power where David is king over Judah, but he's not really the king over all of Israel yet. And so he starts to really, you could say it's political, but it's, even being political, it's not necessarily a bad thing. He starts to show kindness to Saul's family. Even in the past, he had shown kindness to Saul. But that's been his MO, so to speak. I mean, he never hated Saul. He never was vindictive. He never took revenge, even when he could have, even when he was encouraged to. And so his consistent response to people who are his enemies is kindness. And really, people who are opposed to him, and you know, they're thinking they want their guy on the throne, and David's not their guy. And so there's just several things going on in this chapter with this partial transition of power. But the one aspect I want to focus on this morning is David showing kindness, because it's been his behavior all through, really, his life. When he had a bitter enemy in Saul, he would not take the vengeance that he was encouraged to take. He would allow the Lord to work things out that needed to be worked out that even he couldn't. He couldn't work out. And you would probably, I think some of us in here, when David extends this hand of peace, of just trying to make some sort of reconciliation with people who were sympathizers with Saul and Saul's family, I think some of us in here would even say, David, you're putting yourself in danger. This is, you need to deal with these folks harshly. They need to be cut off. There need to be a show of force so they don't take advantage of you, which is exactly what Joab would probably have said, and he does so going forward. But David doesn't do that. That would be the equivalent of, I'm going to be mean because I'm afraid to be kind to you. I'm afraid to be kind to you because if I show kindness to you, then you might take advantage of me. And if I show kindness to you, not only might you take advantage, you might destroy what God's trying to do here. And so I think some of us, if you were around David at this time, you would disagree vehemently with how he handles his business. You would want to see more aggression. You'd want to see more assertiveness. You'd think he's not cowardly, but he needs to be more direct with people that are in opposition to God's will. And that's what the situation looks like. So I think some of us would be frustrated with what he allows to go on. Particularly when you read on in this chapter, Abner is Saul's cousin. And just a brief thing, like I said, I didn't want to get into Abner, but Abner is Saul's cousin, and he's also the chief of the Israeli military, and he sets up another king. And so it's a real divided situation. And all the while, David is not addressing it with anger or malice or even hostility or direct aggression. He's addressing the situation with a sort of an open hand and an invitation. And so, like I said, I think a lot of us would probably disagree with the way he handles it. But therein lies the issue. David's belief that God will work things out, and I get it. Sometimes a direct response is necessary. I get that. That's true. In this case, what you learn is David trusts the Lord to work things out. The Lord had said, David, I'm going to put you on the throne. And David, from that point on, allowed the Lord to make the moves to put him on the throne. He didn't overstep his bounds. He just served God, and he allowed the Lord to do the promoting. That was his trust in the Lord. He allowed the Lord to do the promoting. So he didn't put himself out there. He didn't try to steal the throne. And in fact, you read, he's been waiting for at least, I don't know, at least 12 years to be king. He knew he was going to be king years ago. And he's been waiting. And not only has he been just waiting, he's been serving God while he's waiting. He has he's kept himself from going out of bounds and trying to make things happen that shouldn't happen. He's kept himself from taking revenge and taking a throne that he could have taken. I mean, he could have, on a couple occasions, killed Saul and just taken the throne. Of course, that would have been a real mess. Based on what you're reading here now, that not everybody would have been on board with that. So David patiently relies on the words of God and the promises of God, and that is his stability. He says in his attitude, in his heart, and in his mind, he says, the Lord has told me I will be the king of Israel. And so based on that promise, I'm just going to trust the Lord and let him do the promoting. Let him put the pieces in place that he wants to put in place. And so all of that said, that brings us to this response David has to these enemies. I mean, and they're not really, they would be David's rivals, I would say, because they're Saul loyalists. They're loyal to Saul. If Saul ever did anything right, it was that he protected the men of Jabesh-Gilead at one point in time in the history. And so for that protection, these men take the body of Saul out of Philistine hands and give Saul a proper burial. And so with that, they are loyal to Saul. They're loyal to Saul's family. They believe the Saul family is the royal family. And so David, he's put on Judah's throne. He's made king by the tribe of Judah. And one of the first things he does is he extends a hand to Saul's family and the Saul loyalists and says, hey, Judah has made me king, and I want you to know I am for you. I want to help you. I'm not against you. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not gonna stomp you out. I am for you. I am for a unified Israel is what I'm for. I'm for a unified nation. And so David extends his hand, and there are some men directly under him who don't agree with this. But David's kind response, David continues, notice this, David continues to be kind to people who oppose him. As he was with Saul, so he'll be with Saul's family. And you might say, you read this account, David becomes king of Judah, and he extends his hand, and you say, well, that's a political move. Well, if you mean by political move that he's trying to subvert these people or he's trying to trick them into something, that's not true. Because it'll be proven out, David is going to show kindness to everybody in Saul's family that's left. He's going to continue to show kindness. And those acts of kindness are elements of his trust in God. He doesn't believe that his showing kindness is going to threaten the throne in any way. It's not going to change God's promise. It's not going to really... In fact, he relies on the promise of God, and that gives him strength to be kind, which we'll get into in a second. You might say, like I said, you might say it's a political move by David, and it'll prove not to be. He's not trying to manipulate people. He's not trying to usurp people. He's not trying to undermine people. He's genuinely trying to, and his vision, I think, for Israel is a unified Israel, a unified nation under God. And so one thing you'll notice about David throughout his life is when it comes to political things, and David has very little care for what men think of him, but he has a lot of care for what God thinks of him. And over and over, it just shows in his life. He stumbles in the future here, which is so sad when you're going through this. And I'm reading through here, and I know what's about to happen, and it's so sad to think about it coming up. But his kind response is a part of him. You say, why is David kind to people who hate him? Why is David kind to people who are opposed to God's will? Why is David kind to people who are willing to hinder the will of God? Perhaps I think the question is really, what allows David to be kind? Because there's something in him that allows him to be kind to people that other people don't see, that Joab doesn't see it. Joab's one of David's mighty men, or one of his men, but there's something in David that allows him to be kind, and he's not necessarily afraid of the things that other men are afraid of. Other men would say, if you're, like I said, if you're kind, it's going to threaten your throne. If you're kind, it's going to put you at a disadvantage. If you're kind to these people, they're going to take advantage of you. They're going to manipulate you. They're going to hurt you. But David, in all of that, he has confidence to actually just be kind to these folks, kind to folks who oppose him. And that's the idea. He's not afraid to be kind. I'll give you a verse here, and I'll just read it to you. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." We talked about forgiveness a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, I don't know. But kindness, be ye kind one to another. David is practicing this kindness 1,000 years before Paul ever wrote this. He's practicing this kindness. He says, I'm going to requite you this kindness. He's telling the men of Jabesh Gilead, these folks that are loyal to Saul and love Saul and love Saul's family. And he is practicing this. So the question in my mind when I read through this, what makes David so different and have such a different attitude about people than really most people have? Here's David's confidence. Here's where this comes from, and this is key. This is key. David has known he's supposed to be king over Israel for at least 12 years, like I said. He's patiently waited for God to remove Saul. But David's refused to remove Saul himself. In fact, David has been very good to Saul. He's been very good to Saul. And I don't think he's been good to Saul I think he's genuinely good to Saul. And he's genuinely good to Saul's family, even after David gets on the throne. David's attitude comes from, get this, this is the point here. This is one of the points. David's attitude comes from a promise that God gave him. So it comes from the words of God. God said, David, you're going to be the king of Israel. And David took that promise, and he anchored himself in that promise. And then when objections showed up, you're going to threaten the throne. You're going to mess up God's will. No, David stuck firmly with that promise. I know what God has said to me. Therefore, I don't have to respond to situations the way you would respond to situations, because I know what God has already said. And so his confidence, his hope, his security all comes from the words of God. And that's important. That's important. I think of the way sometimes we react to things, and if you don't have confidence in the words of God, and if maybe you don't even know the promises of God, maybe you're not familiar enough with the words of God, but for whatever reason, you don't have an anchor in the words of God, you're capable and you're liable to shift with, like the Paul says, every wind of doctrine. You know, you should be acting this way, you should be doing this. Or you're liable to allow emotions to take over and dictate what the next step should be if you're not anchored in the words of God. David is firmly anchored in God's promise. And so when these objections show up, and when these folks show up that seem to possibly threaten the promise of God, David's not moved by it. He knows what God said, and he's going to rely on what God said. So here's his confidence. His attitude's the right attitude, and really the right spirit that every child of God should have. He is confidently kind. The Bible says of David, he sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said unto them, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord," that's Saul, "even unto Saul, and have buried him, and now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness, because you've done this thing." Meaning I will show you kindness. "Therefore now let your hands be strengthened, be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them." So he extends his open arms of reconciliation, assuring them, I'm not a threat to you. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to put down part of the nation of Israel and stomp them out. That's not what I'm here for. God has promised me this throne, and your objections to that don't mean anything to me, because God's words mean everything to me. Confidence comes from the clearly revealed word of God. And so you could say it this way: God's words on the matter give David the advantage. This is why David sees things differently. This is why David is able to have the right attitude and the right spirit. Why does he have the right spirit towards Saul? Because he trusts what God said. There's a connection there. You gotta understand that trusting and relying and finding your foundation in the words of God gives you the ability to have the right spirit about things. That's David. It's David. He trusts what God said, and therefore he has confidence to be kind. He's not afraid of showing gentleness to folks who may oppose him. And just for a minute here, we dealt with some of them, but I want to deal with these objections, because there would be objections to what David does. And being kind, like David is going to show kindness to Saul's family and the rest of Saul's family and the rest of the Saul loyalists, there's objections to that kindness. People will make it difficult to do good because they instigate contention. I'll give you an example. Right after this, Joab is a guy. I don't want to go into Joab. He is out of control. Joab is a murderer. And he does not agree with what some of David's decisions. In fact, when he sees people as a threat, his response is generally, "I'm just going to take your head off. If I see you as a threat, I will remove you." And that's Joab's sort of MO. That's the way he operates. And so he opposes David's, even though he's in David's inner circle. I mean, he helps David so much, but he's also such a I would say fragile personality. But he is. He's so emotional. He doesn't trust God. He doesn't have faith like David has, and it makes him just this angry, violent man. And so he's angry. He like I said, when opposition shows up, he just takes the person's head off, and he can do it. I mean, he's militarily savvy. He's technically savvy. He can do it. And so that's his response. And so he contends, and he'll contend with David sometimes. When David makes a decision about something, he'll say, you know, you should have dealt with more force on that. You need to handle that with more aggression. Why does he say that? Because that's the way he would handle it. He would deal with it aggressively. He'll say things, I mean, like, this is going to be a problem if you don't put it down. And David's response is, look, God's given me a promise. And it doesn't matter what these people do or don't do. God's promise is real. And they are no threat to the words of God. These people are not a threat to the words of God. Therefore, I have the ability to be kind to them. I don't need to be aggressive with them. I don't need to put them down. I can let God deal with the situation. I can let God promote me how he wants to promote me. I can let God handle all of these enemies or friends, however they are. And I can let God do these things. Because why? Why? Because God's given me his word on this, and I trust that. People make it difficult to do good because they institute contention, or they instigate contention. Sometimes friends will make it difficult to do good and be kind because they get their feelings hurt. I know there's been, maybe you've been the friend, or you've had a friend and or family, and maybe you got your feelings hurt, or your friend or your family member got their feelings hurt, and you became the instrument of aggression. You said you need to lash out. You need to handle this thing. And sometimes friends or family members can be they can encourage you to not be kind, because why would they do that? Because they got their feelings hurt. Their feelings are hurt, so they want you to be the instrument of God's wrath to teach that other person a lesson. And maybe they got their feelings hurt because your feelings are hurt. If it's family and kids get their feelings hurt, and parents, you know, it's like kids got my feelings hurt. My first reaction is defend the kid. And then you maybe find out they weren't exactly giving you the whole story or something like that. But the point is, those emotional reactions are contrary to kindness. They're things that sort of well up, and they present themselves as options, as, hey, this is a way to deal with this. You can lash out. You can put this person in their place. And if there's no anchor, if there's no foundation in the Word of God, you just get moved about with these winds and this anger and this frustration. But not David. He's just founded on the words of God, and these situations that are potentially scary to some people, that have hurt other people's feelings, and they'll say, David, you need to crack the whip on them. David doesn't have to do that. He's not afraid to be kind. He's confident in the words of God. He trusts what God said. People will say, you must show strength, otherwise you'll be taken advantage of. That's a common one. You must show strength unless you'll be taken advantage of. Here's a thought just for that. Just when I get to the book of Peter, the books of Peter, he talks about suffering as a Christian. And sometimes you get taken advantage of, and there's nothing you could do about that. other than control your attitude about it. Sometimes being taken advantage of is not the, or not be, let's put it this way. Sometimes not being taken advantage of or avoiding being manipulated is not the point. That's sort of a, I don't know, it's like a utilitarian idea. It's like if it doesn't work, then you shouldn't do it. Sometimes God's not, I don't want to say it's God's will that you get taken advantage of, but sometimes you just get taken advantage of. And you're just not going to avoid that. And so trying to avoid being taken advantage of is not the point anyway. The point is you need to trust God while people take advantage. In fact, Paul deals with it with the Corinthians. He says, look, you've defrauded each other. Now you're taking each other to court. It's like, better you just be defrauded other than ruin Jesus Christ's testimony in the community. Better you just deal with it and allow it to happen than be contentious and keep fighting these things out. It's a pressure in leadership. I mean, David is pressured to squash any sign of rebellion. He's pressured to how long do I let this go on and allow the nation to live outside the will of God? How long? Well, if you trust God and you're going to allow God to promote and allow God to move the pieces in place, well, then the timing is going to be up to God. It's going to be in God's hands how he lays the thing out, how he architects it, how he moves the pieces. So there is obviously there's objections to being kind. There's objections. There's people have reasons. You know, you just need to show more strength. You need to crack the whip. Or I don't like those people, so you shouldn't like those people. That's all. David's faith and his trust in the words of God keep him from adopting any of those attitudes. So what does he do when he gets on the throne, at least partially on the throne? He starts to extend a hand of kindness to people who you wouldn't think that you would extend a hand of kindness to. He starts to show them, look, I'm not a threat. My goal as leader of the nation of Israel is as a unified nation under God. I don't have any interest in squashing other tribes. I don't have any interest in putting the people of God under my heavy foot and crushing them. The policy of my leadership is going to be kindness. So then you got the objections, you've got the confidence that David had. He's not afraid to be kind. That's important, and that's the very specific point we're making here. He's not afraid to be kind. So how do we apply some of this stuff? Sometimes you won't be kind because you're afraid. Someone won't get what they deserve. You ever had that thought? I know. I mean, you're afraid if I don't mete out revenge. I won't say revenge, it's just if I don't deal out recompense, if I don't deal out judgment with this person, they're not going to get what they deserve. And that thought prevents you from being kind. It's because you think you're afraid that if you don't, put it this way, you're afraid that if you're kind, judgment won't be adequately meted out. You ever been, you felt like that? That's the feeling of revenge. It's, I'm not going to trust God with taking care of these situations. I'm going to take the situation into my hands, and I will be the hammer, I will be the judge, I will be the instrument of judgment in this person's life. It's the feeling of revenge. So you get these, maybe you won't be kind because you're overtaken with that. I have to requite this with judgment. Here's a verse or a few verses. Which then begs the question this, if you can't be kind to people who are unkind to you, is it really kindness? Jesus said, "For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind," listen to this, "he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Some of you ought to take this into real consideration. You ought to examine your life and think, because I examine my life, I think about this stuff. I can choose kindness or I can choose revenge. I can choose to be kind, and generally that helps my spirit. That helps me, that gives me a little bit of happiness. Or I can choose to hang on to something and try to make it right, and that makes me irritated. Or I can hang on to something and let it bother me, or I can try to mete out judgment. I can try to find revenge, and that it's just a choice. Do I want to be angry, or do I want to be happy? Do I want to be mad and frustrated, or do I want to have peace? And that's determined by what I choose to do with some of these situations. Do I want to be kind? That helps my spirit. That helps me. Or do I want to hang on to this fault of someone? Or do I want to hang on to this so tight I want to hang on to it so that it makes me irritated? And then I get irritated with people who I don't need to be irritated with. You understand the process here? And it's a choice. And you ought to think and look over your life and look over decisions you make and think, okay, I can choose kindness or I can choose revenge. And revenge is going to make me mad. Or I can choose kindness, and kindness is going to make me feel a little bit better. So I can choose to be mad all the time, or I can choose to feel decent and charitable. Those are choices you make. And anchoring yourself in the Word of God makes some of those choices much easier. Here's an application. Maybe you won't be kind because you're afraid you might get hurt in the process. It's not that they're not getting what they deserve. They're not getting what they deserve, but you're afraid if I extend this hand of kindness, they're going to bite my hand off. Okay, well, back to the question. Do you want to be kind and generally a better spirit? Or do you want to be fearful? You want to be afraid of everything around the corner? Do you want to cower in fear? I mean, what spirit do you want to carry with you? Paul said it this way: "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." You know, what you learn and what I've learned in reading about David and this particular element of his faith, showing kindness is an act that justifies your faith. It proves out, it shows, hey, I really trust God to handle this. I just really trust God to handle this. Therefore, I don't need to do anything. I'm free to be gentle. I'm free to be charitable. I'm free to be kind, because I just trust that God will work the thing out. So therefore, I am free to be loving. I am free to extend this hand of mercy. I'm free to have a good spirit. because I trust that God will work the thing out. David, he's got a promise from God. You're going to be the king of Israel. You'll be on the throne. And he rests in that, and he says, based on that, I have confidence that God will do and perform exactly what he said he would do. Therefore, I don't need to be vindictive. I don't need to be vengeful. I don't need to take advantage of people. I don't need to be manipulative. God can work those things out. And I am free. I am free to be merciful, gentle, meek, humble, kind, those things. I'm free to do those things. Kindness is an act that justifies your faith. Your kindness says, I trust God to sort out these things that scare me. Because that can be the number one reason that kindness isn't shown. You're afraid this guy's not going to get what he deserves, or you're afraid you're going to be hurt in the process. So what's the problem? Well, I can either be afraid or I can be kind. I may be afraid they're not going to get what they deserve, or maybe you got the idea. Here's the application, though. I'm going to trust God to sort all of my fears out. And I will be free to be good to people. I will be free to be charitable. And I will be free to be kind. And I trust that God will sort out the rest of it. What's David saying? David's saying, look, I have the guts. I have the guts to show kindness and let the Lord figure the rest out. It's a pretty simple application. And granted, I think when David does things like this, there's people around him that disagree. And they think, David, you need to show a little more strength here. You're going to have to really put your foot down here. Well, if I don't put my foot down, what's that mean? I don't have the throne? No, that's not what that means. It's just, I have the freedom to be kind to these folks. I have the freedom to extend my hand. I'm not going to be afraid. What's Joab afraid of? Joab's afraid if he doesn't stomp people out, they're going to take advantage of him. That's what he's afraid of. So any opposition is met with, I'm going to stomp you out. Well, that's not the right spirit. There's manipulation. That's not the right spirit either. The right spirit is, here's what God said. I believe what God said. Therefore, now I am free from anger, from wrath, from malice. I am free from vengeance. I am free from all that stuff. And I am at liberty now to be good, to be helpful, to be charitable, to be kind to people who may not normally be kind to. So it's a real simple application. And David's not afraid to be kind. He's not afraid because he's got confidence in the words of God. And I think if you think about it in your life and in my life, and think about it, the thing that causes us to recoil from kindness, like I can be good here, but this may happen, or this may happen. The thing that causes us to recoil is fear. I'm afraid that if I extend my hand, then this guy's not going to get what he deserves, or he's going to hurt me, or I'm going to be hurt by this. Well, if you trust the words of God, and I understand there are situations, I'm not saying this is just carte blanche, this is the way it happens every time. There are times where you have to be assertive and deal with things. I get it. But not in this case. Far more often than not, it looks like when David could have been vengeful, and when he could have hurt people, he chose to be good to them. He just chose to be good to them. And then the Lord Jesus Christ brings up the point in the New Testament. Look, if you're going to be good to people who are good to you, that's not new. That's something the world does. That's not partaking of a divine nature. That's just being what everyone else is. But if you can be good to people who aren't good or are in opposition, if you can be good to them, that's partaking of a divine nature. That's not natural. And people partake of that nature. You partake of God's divine nature based on His words, based on what He said. It gives you the liberty to do that. So I hope that makes sense. There's so much going on in chapter 2 here, but David is, this seems to be a thing that goes throughout his ministry, his leadership, his shepherding of a nation, that he continues to treat people good who you would think he should treat them badly, but he continues to be good to them. And he'll stumble in a couple chapters, which is horrible to think about. But up to this point, this is his faith. This is how his faith is applied in his life. He just trusts what God said, and it frees him up. It frees his spirit up. It frees him up to do things people won't normally do. Yeah, people will normally be good to people who are good to them, but they won't normally be good to people who are opposed to them. That's a different thing. That's partaking of a divine nature. And that's part of David's faith, part of his trust in the words of God. And so I say that to you, because I think we could all use a little bit of this. It's just being kind. It's the freedom. It's really what it is. It's the freedom to be kind. It's the liberty to be kind. It's not being afraid to be kind. That's David. He's just not afraid to be kind. So I hope that's helpful to you. We'll see it again in a few chapters where he shows kindness to Mephibosheth. And it's part of his leadership. It's one of his qualities there. So I hope that's helpful as Sam comes and plays a little bit on the piano. We'll just have a little time of brief invitation and then think about it. Think about it in your own life. You can choose revenge. You can choose anger and hatred, or you can choose goodness and kindness. And generally, that'll determine how you feel. So as Sam plays a little bit, we can bow our heads, close our eyes, and we'll